When the history of this particular American week is finally written, it may well be that General Mark Milley is the man historians focus upon. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, just a few weeks ago, he fell on his sword and apologized to the American people for, in full uniform, accompanying a Bible-brandishing president on that shameful walk to a church opposite the White House, moments after chemical agents were used to disperse peaceful protesters. Yesterday, with a range of voices here fearful that President Trump was considering a coup to extend his time in power, America's top military man took a stand.
We do not take an oath to a king or a queen, a tyrant or a dictator. We do not take an oath to an individual. We take an oath to the Constitution. And every soldier that is represented in this museum, every sailor, airman, Marine, Coast Guardsman, each of us will protect and defend that document regardless of personal price.
It is amazing that in America of all countries it has come to this. General Milley speaking there at the opening of the U.S. Army Museum, flanked by Trump political operatives who were suddenly put in place this week at the top of the Pentagon after the president fired the Defense Department's entire civilian leadership. The week ends with the White House stained by the president's attempts to subvert the will of the American people by falsely claiming the election was fraudulent. Without any doubt, we can now say it was not. First, the president hasn't mounted a single successful legal action proving fraud. Even Republican-appointed judges have been throwing Trump campaign lawyers out of their courtrooms this week. But last night, the Department of Homeland Security made it official, distributing a statement by federal, state, and local election officials who unanimously say the election was the most secure in American history, and that there is no evidence that any voting systems were compromised. And again, that's an official government statement. But even that wasn't enough for the purveyors of piffle.
But first, tonight, many Americans do not believe that this election was fair. And make no mistake, every American has a right to feel that way. I feel that way.
Sean Hannity, a close friend of President Trump, whose broadcast on Fox News last night was accompanied with graphics that screamed election chaos, even though we haven't seen any of that. A polemicist who doesn't think Americans have a right to health care, Mr. Hannity will defend to the end of time their right to believe that a clean election was filthy.
It's a corrupt and an embarrassing disgrace. We, you, the American people, deserve more. We are capable of so much more. We did send people to the moon and back. Pretty big accomplishment.
He's like one of Harry Enfield's self-righteous brothers in the pub. Sean Hannity there admiring any man who goes to the moon and back. But since we may not have the chance again, let's dig in briefly to the claims the president's supporters made this week, starting with White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, now openly dispensing even with the pretense of being anything other than a Trump hack.
Sean, a read through some of these affidavits. I now have three binders, I have three binders. These are court filings and affidavits, but they're startling, Sean.
They certainly are startling, Sean. Let's listen to the author of one of them, a poll worker called Melissa Carone. She is the source of a conspiracy theory that claims vans were used to move votes illegally in Detroit. Fox presenter Lou Dobbs, another friend of the president's, made the huge mistake of inviting her onto his broadcast.
I started at 6 a.m. and I got off at 6 a.m. The next day. So I started at 6 a.m. November 3rd, got off at 6 a.m. November 4th. The city provides the workers with food for their shift. Well, they only had enough food for one-third of their workers. So that is the reason why they were claiming that these vans were brought in. But these vans did not have food taken out of them.
And the vans that showed up, they were supposed to be filled with food. What did they have in them? Do you know?
I never saw anything being brought out of the vans. I know that whatever was being brought out of the vans was being brought out of the back of the vans. But I was not allowed over in that area at all.
So she didn't actually see anything at all, and she's one of their star witnesses. We should briefly remember that at Rudy Giuliani's press conference last weekend at Four Seasons Landscaping, not the Four Seasons Hotel in Philadelphia, his first fraud witness turned out to be a convicted sex offender. The president, meanwhile, has been citing so-called evidence from a propaganda TV personality who got duped by Sacha Baron Cohen into taking the actress playing Borat's daughter into the White House. We will not have material this good for much longer. Only for another 68 days, in fact. And that is when we will say farewell to Mike Pompeo, America's Secretary of State, who this week neutered himself from ever again being able to criticize the conduct of another country's election.
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right, we're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here.
He's now beginning a seven-nation tour, meeting with foreign leaders who, unlike the Secretary of State, have all congratulated Joe Biden on becoming president-elect. There must be a word in German for it, and it's definitely not the word swagger favoured by the Secretary of State. Normally, my American Week heavily features the latest pronouncements of President Trump, but not so today because there haven't been any. The public hasn't heard from him since last Saturday, when he once again claimed he had won an election that he lost. We have heard today from his predecessor in the White House.
The president doesn't like to lose, and never admits loss.
Barack Obama beginning a book tour to publicize his presidential memoir. In an appearance on the CBS News magazine 60 Minutes, he slates the Republicans who have enabled the president's behavior this week.
I'm more troubled by the fact that other Republican officials who clearly know better are going along with this, are humoring him in this fashion. It is one more step in delegitimizing not just the incoming Biden administration, but democracy generally. And that's a dangerous path.
Dangerous because a delegitimized Joe Biden will soon be dealing with a genuine national crisis. While President Trump focused this week on non-existent election fraud, he completely ignored the fact that COVID-19 is spreading like wildfire here. 160,000 new infections yesterday alone, another record. In North Dakota, a crisis so grave, the governor says healthcare workers must stay at their posts even after they test positive for the virus. Mobile mortuaries were deployed in parts of Texas this week, the national death rate 33% higher over the last 14 days. When President Trump on the campaign trail claimed,
"We're rounding the turn. You know, all they want to talk about is COVID. By the way, on November 4th, you won't be hearing so much about it."
It never occurred to me that he meant we wouldn't be hearing so much about it from him. Not a single message to the country this week about the crisis, and of course, no plan to do anything about it at all. In Provo, Utah this week, astonishing news. The hospital system there, awash in COVID, is also battling conspiracy theorists who are trying to prove that it isn't.
You mentioned people were trying to film in the hospital.
That's City Council member George Handley questioning exhausted Utah Valley Hospital administrator Kyle Hansen.
These people who are worried that you're overworked or worried that there's some sort of misinformation campaign going on, that there's really no stresses at the hospital at all.
It's the latter. It's conspiracy theorists that believe what they're being told is not accurate, and they're determined to videotape and capture the proof of that by accessing our facilities.
This is the America that Joe Biden inherits, a country living in a post-truth environment where QAnon and its conspiracy theories are now center stage in many communities, where COVID-19 is running rampant and millions of Americans are poised to reject any government efforts to control it, where an election the government says was the most secure in history was deemed by the president on Twitter 45 minutes ago to have been rigged. In 68 days' time, it will be Joe Biden's problem to try and fix things around here. For him and for America, there is no honeymoon period on the horizon.